It's fundamental. It's basic. But Pastor Ray Bentley says it's the anchor that'll hold your life together.
Jesus is Lord. Don't let a church become your Lord. Don't let a man become your Lord. Don't let a pastor or a priest be your Lord. Don't let some denomination, don't let some other additional book or teachings outside of the Bible be your Lord. Jesus is Lord, period.
Spread the news. All of his people coming down before the King.
Welcome to Maranatha Radio with Pastor Ray Bentley. Maranatha, bringing the message of Christ's soon return, the whole gospel, to the whole world. To bake a cake, you have to use all the right ingredients. If you leave a few out, you don't have a cake, you have a mess. If you put extra things in, you may have a bigger mess. Well, so it is with the truth of God's Word. And today, Pastor Ray points out those who add to the gospel take away from its integrity.
We are now studying together the book of Colossians. I want you to be encouraged. Paul says, "For I want you to know what a great conflict I have for you and those in Laodicea, and for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh, that their hearts may be encouraged, being knit together in love." You cannot experience love alone. You cannot experience the fullness of your humanity, let alone being a son or daughter of the living God, alone. God did not make or design human beings to function well, isolated and alone. You were, listen, made by God, designed by God, if you will, wired by God to be interdependent upon others. That's why we're even created in families. But we need more than our earthly families, and so God has given to us this beautiful divine family where we have many, many, many brothers and many, many sisters. And the Lord reveals himself uniquely through each and every one of you. And the beautiful thing is nobody has everything. Nobody has all the gifts. Nobody reflects God perfectly except Jesus. And so you reflect a little bit of him this way, and I reflect him in that way, and together, like the pieces of a mosaic, you put it together and you see how multifaceted, how beautiful, how diverse and glorious God is. So we need to be knit together. Life is hard. And the older you get and the further you go along, there's a lot of disappointments and the frailty and the fragile nature of life. And the thing that really, and especially maybe our generation and where we are right now, you know, in the beginning you want to make your name, you want to be whatever, famous, or you want to be successful, or you want to be important. But there reaches a point in your life where those things don't really mean all that much. There's an emptiness to them, whether you achieve your goals or whether you don't. But all of a sudden you begin to reflect and think that what really means something is the people in my life and the love that I have in my life. And so Paul is saying to the church there, listen, I want to encourage you, I want you to be knit together in love and attaining to all the riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the knowledge of the mystery of God, both of the Father and of Christ. In verse 2, Paul says, another reason I'm writing you is that you have the full assurance, really, of salvation. And that's one of the reasons we are now going through the book of Colossians. I, as your pastor, am praying for you that you will have, every one of you, all of you, the full assurance of salvation. There are, and there have been, some of you in various other backgrounds, maybe from a pastor, from a priest, from a guy with a robe on, or from a pulpit, or whatever, you somehow got the idea or the message that, okay, yes, you need to believe in Jesus, and yes, you need to accept the gospel, but then you better be good, and you better do good works, and then maybe, who knows, if you'll be accepted before God. And there are a lot of people that live their spiritual life in constant cowering, fear, never having the full assurance of their salvation. What a horrible way to live. That is not the message of the Bible. That is not the gospel. The good news, that's what gospel means, good news. The good news is you can have the total, complete, full assurance of your salvation right here, right now. And the reason is it's not based on you or me. It's not based upon my goodness, my performing, my ability, my righteousness. It has nothing to do with me. It has everything to do with the one in whom I place my faith and my trust, Jesus, his righteousness. I have received his salvation. He does for me what I could never do for myself. And now, being in me, he begins to live in me and through me, and yes, I begin to grow spiritually, and that's very important. But you can have the full assurance of your salvation if you trust in Jesus and in him alone. Now, verse 3, Paul goes on. He says, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Now, this I say, lest anyone should deceive you with persuasive words. Paul is saying, if you have Jesus, you have salvation. If you have Jesus, you have the full assurance of salvation. If you have Jesus, you have everything that has to do with wisdom or knowledge. Everything we have is in him. Now, we don't know everything about him. We don't fully understand. We don't fully fathom all that is in our hearts by Jesus being in us. That's going to take eternity to get to know the height and depth and width and the breadth of all that he is and the manifestation of his love. And we'll never really ever get to the end of it. But in him are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. One of the reasons that Paul is saying that focus on Jesus and be centered in Jesus, is that there was a cult, kind of in some ways the original cult, and a cult being a twisting of the truth, and it was called the Gnostics. The word is a Greek word. It's spelled, interestingly, G-N-O-S-T-I-C, the Gnostics. Now, the Gnostics basically had heard about Jesus, and they had initially emotionally embraced the story of the gospel, but then they started saying, but Jesus isn't enough. Maybe it's a good place to begin, but, there's more. You need to get into the deeper things. And they had this secret society. One of the natures of cults is that there are secrets. Oh, we can't let everybody know this. This isn't for the general public. As opposed, I might say, to the truth of the gospel. God's not into secrets. God's into telling everything. He's into sharing everything. God doesn't have there are no second-class citizens in the kingdom of heaven. The ground is equal from the cross to the throne of heaven. We all get there the same way. None of us is better than the other. So they had these secrets, and by the way, also cults, by their nature, do not really evangelize for the most part. They don't go out into the lost world and try to evangelize people that they could care less about God or things spiritual. They're into materialism or the things of this world or whatever. Cults generally don't do well, even if they try to evangelize the unsaved. What cults are particularly good at is evangelizing people who are already in a church, but who are, for some reason, they feel ostracized or left out, or they're not really grounded in the Word. So they come along and they say, oh, so you're a Christian. Oh, so am I. They always want to start off with, yes, I'm a Christian too, but, oh, the Bible, yes, great, wonderful. And Jesus, tremendous. It's a great place to begin. Now, they close the Bible. Let us add other things. Let us go on. New revelations, new things. Well, that's kind of what the Gnostics did. They said, we have new revelations. We have new secrets. Well, one of the things that they apparently taught was that the body is evil, that this physical material world is, that's where all the problems are. And so therefore, all of the physical world is impossible even to be saved. And the only thing that is good is the Spirit and the things of the Spirit and, yes, believing about Jesus. Okay, so they even taught, they began to teach that Jesus didn't really have a physical body. He wasn't really born into this human world. How could he be? Because everything that's physical dies and it decays and it's sinful. And if Jesus really is God, how could he also really be a human? So they said he looked like a human, he would appear as a human, but they taught, for instance, when he walked along the shores of the Sea of Galilee, he didn't really leave footprints because he didn't really have a body. And so you go, okay, it sounds kind of strange. They're denying the incarnation, but kind of holding on to some idea that he is deity or God. But then here's the next level. There's always, then, you know, you take, ideas have consequences, and there's a certain train of logic in them. And so you go down the tracks. What was the next thing then that they said? They said, because the body is part of this evil world and only the spirit is good, it doesn't really matter what you do in your body. You can, you know, drink like a fish and you can sleep with whoever you want to. And really, whatever is called immorality is, God doesn't even care about that. Do whatever you want in your body. Just, you know, believe the right thing spiritually. So that was the next thing that they came up with, and it became these secret societies, and they're pulling away and drawing from these Christians. And by the way, the word Gnostic means to know in Greek. So these people were in the know, if you will. We really know what's going on. The church, by and large, it's all Babylon, and they're all wrong, and we know the real secret ways or the deeper ways, and so they were pulling people, and Paul is saying, he's warning the believers in Colossae and Laodicea, don't listen to their lies and don't be persuaded, don't be weak, be strong. He says again there in verse 4, this I say, lest anyone should deceive you with persuasive words. They are persuasive, and I'm concerned for you. Because statistically, as time goes on, 5 years, 10 years down the road, I wonder who that is here today in this service will end up in some weird side group that is eventually a cult, and then you look back and you go, what happened? Where did I go wrong? I want to warn you about that, even as Paul was warning. He says they use persuasive words. In other words, they're not going to come to you or knock on your door or come up to you and say, hey, I've got this weird little cult. How would you like to come join me and waste about 20 years of your life? No, they're not going to say that. They're going to befriend you. They're going to lavish you with love and see your church doesn't visit you or call you. And here we're always on the phone and we're with you and we're giving you that koinonia fellowship. And so you read some scripture and you go, well, I never heard that before. You know, I want you, and here's what Paul wanted, for you to be able to know the word yourself. I hope that you don't just live on what you hear on Sundays, but I strongly encourage you, read the Bible. Don't let anybody say, okay, yeah, the Bible, that's fascinating, interesting, good place to start, boom, go somewhere else. You stay with the word of God. Paul says in verse 5, for though I am absent in the flesh, yet I am with you in spirit, rejoicing to see your good order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him. Jesus is Lord. And listen carefully to what I'm saying. Don't let a church become your Lord. Don't let a man become your Lord. Don't let a pastor or a priest be your Lord. Don't let some denomination be your Lord. Don't let some church institution be your Lord. Don't let some other additional book or teachings outside of the Bible be your Lord. Don't let some other, you know, close-knit group be your Lord. Jesus is Lord, period. You get to have a personal relationship with Jesus. And you don't have to go through a church to have that relationship. Yes, church is important. And as a pastor, there is a gift and a calling of being a pastor, and we should gather together and encourage one another. But you can have a personal relationship with him before you ever come here. And you should have daily. You don't have to go through a man to pray to God. You don't have to go through an institution. You alone with the Word of God. I trust the Word of God, and I trust the Holy Spirit, that if you just, you could be a day old in the Lord. You don't need to know Greek or Hebrew. You just read the Bible and pray and say, Holy Spirit, please lead and guide me into the truth. And you just read it. God will speak to you. I have absolute confidence in the Word of God, the Holy Spirit. John said, you have no need that any man should teach you, but the Holy Spirit that is in you, he shall lead you and guide you into all truth. Now, some of you might say, okay, you're talking about the Gnostics. That was 2,000 years ago. Ray, what does that have to do with me? Well, let me say this. Though I have not read it, there is a book that has sold millions of copies called The Da Vinci Code. And this guy, Dan Brown, has written a fictional book that admittedly, but he brings together, and I guess he is a very good writer and a very good storyteller, and he's put together some, you know, church history and church tradition and some other things. And also he has, one of his sources is the Gnostic Gospels. You may have heard that read or something referred to that. Gnostic. The Gnostics came along after the book of Acts, after the life of Jesus, after the apostles, after the early church. And they put their spin and they put their twist on it. Many of you maybe have never heard of the Gnostic Gospels. Being a pastor, when I was in Bible school, we heard all about the Gnostics and the Gnostic Gospels and what they said and how it differed from the Bible and everything else. Well, now it's being presented to a new generation like, oh, the church has been hiding and burying this Gnostic, you know, this is what was really going on, these secrets, and they're going to share it all. And now we find out, you know, all these crazy ideas. Jesus actually had a relationship with Mary Magdalene. He had all these kids and there's descendants and whatever nonsense that there is. It is not new. It has not been buried. It's been around. It's just being presented in a new package. And I haven't really heard any of you just getting so freaked out about that, but there'll be other presentations where the real Jesus that has been hidden and buried for 2,000 years, now the truth comes out. He really wasn't God, or he really wasn't born of a virgin, or whatever it is. I know because I see the signs prophetically. I believe that we are living in the last days. It's going to come out. Attacks against what the church has taught, the simple gospel for a long time. It's expected. And I know it's going to glean through. And those who are like tumbleweeds, who, you know what a tumbleweed is? It's this big, giant plant. It has one little, shallow root. Big plant, impressive. A wind comes, and the tumbleweed rolls away. Because it doesn't really have a root system. So notice what Paul says here. As you therefore have received Christ Jesus, the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith, as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving. We need to have roots. Roots in the Lord Jesus Christ. Roots in the Word of God. I don't understand churches that they don't, you know, encourage bring in the Bible or reading from the Bible or teaching from the Bible. To me, that's, you know, that's all that it is. So stay with the Word. Don't let anybody tell you, oh, put away that book, and here, start reading these new things. So the Gnostics, they're being appealed to today. I remember there was a lady some years ago, I can't remember her name, and I don't mean to besmirch her, but just she was this young, attractive, blonde lady, and she had this kind of a church, and there were several thousand people going. And she was kind of blending. She would talk about Jesus, quote a little bit from the Bible, and added a lot of Eastern mysticism. And there was some kind of miraculous stuff or spiritual stuff happening. And so, everybody was, you know, going. And a lot of people that had been raised in the church were going to this deal. This is the new deal. Oh, this is the real truth, the inner secrets, the real revelation. So they get into this thing. And it lasted for several years. But then all of a sudden, I don't know. She left, and I don't know what problems there were, but it's gone. And here's all these people who gave a lot of money. They threw themselves mind, soul, and heart into this thing, and then it blows up and it's gone. Where is that? Where is that teaching or whatever happened to that? It's emptiness. That's what happens when you get sucked into a cult. You get more and more and more isolated from the flock of God, And the body of Christ is not perfect. There's problems, you know, and imperfections and flaws within every part of every denomination within the body. But there is truth within the gospel. There's truth within the Word of God, and we need to just stay simple and pure to the Word of God and to the simple gospel we've heard. Don't be deceived. Don't so quickly let go of what seems so simple, so basic as Jesus. Paul is saying, do you realize if you have Jesus, you have all the secrets, you have all the wisdom, you have all the knowledge, you have everything you need. Even if you don't know it all, or what it all is, or who he all is, none of us do. We're growing in our understanding of him who dwells within our heart, Christ in you, the hope of glory. But don't let it go. Be rooted and built up in him and established in the faith as you've been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving. And then verses 8 through 10, in closing, Paul says, beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy. Over the years, I've talked to so many Christians who, they started off maybe at my church, and then they were Christians, and then they ran off. I didn't see them for a while, and then they come back years later. Well, where have you been? Or what happened? Well, we went this way for a while, and we went down that path. And then they get to the end of it, and finally they return to the faith of their youth, but they feel cheated. They've got ripped off. And then I love what Paul says, exactly what it is, empty deceit. I mean, it all sounds so dazzling, and it sounds so enticing. Oh, this is new. It's going to bring something new into my life, some new energy, some new experience. But in the end, you are deceived, and then you wake up to it, and then it's empty, according to the tradition of men, according to the basic principles of the world, not according to Christ. For in him, here Paul lays it down again, in him, Jesus, dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. That's the gospel. In Jesus dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And you are complete in him, who is the head of all principality and power. I love that. You're complete in him. Don't let somebody come and tell you, oh, you have Jesus, you're a Christian. Oh, good. But you're not complete. Let me add this to Jesus. Let me add this to your Christianity. Let me add this to your spirituality. Paul said, no. In him, you have everything. In Jesus, you are complete.
Good insight about the sufficiency of Christ. Glad you've joined us today for Pastor Ray Bentley's study in Colossians chapter 2 here on Maranatha Radio. Now, today's broadcast is available on CD for just $7. Get in touch and ask for the message called Complete in Jesus, Part 1. And you can now get Pastor Ray's entire series in Colossians on a single CD, MP3s of every one of Pastor Ray's messages from this series on one compact disc. Order online at maranatharadio.com. Or address a letter to Maranatha Radio, 10752 Coastwood Road, San Diego, California, 92127. Well, Pastor Ray, your book, The Holy Land Key, is not only based on your years of biblical study, but it's based on some unique relationships you've enjoyed with people in the Middle East.
You know, that's very true. I had no idea, Dave. The Lord kind of spoke to me, and he just said, hey, you know, you tell the story, you teach the story of prophecy. Son, I got some surprises for you. You're going to be stepping into the story. And when I took that adventure with the Lord, I found myself literally in the office of the current prime minister of Israel, Benjamin Netanyahu, and sharing the things of the Lord with him. And it was a powerful, incredible opportunity and experience. And that's part of what I get to share the story about in the book, The Holy Land Key.
He's a thoughtful man that really is trying to do his best to lead that nation.
You know, he is. The whole world being focused on Israel, and right now focused on the prime minister of Israel, Benjamin Netanyahu. We're living at one of the most exciting hours in human history, and we get to share and tell some of those stories in the book, The Holy Land Key.
All right. Well, why not get a copy for yourself? It's available to Maranatha Radio listeners for just $10. To get a copy, write Maranatha Radio, 10752 Coastwood Road, San Diego, California, 1-800-521-2727 or order it online at maranatharadio.com. Next time, join Pastor Ray for more from our studies in the book of Colossians. More from God's Word next time on Maranatha Radio. Maranatha, bringing the message of Christ's soon return, the whole gospel to the whole world. Maranatha Radio with Pastor Ray Bentley is an outreach of Maranatha Chapel, 10752 Coastwood Road, San Diego, California, 92127.